You turn again to Mark chapter 6, to those verses we read, 45 onward. In my lunchtime devotional reading and praying period a few days ago, I came in my readings in Mark's Gospel to this great event concerning the Lord's disciples that afforded me much encouragement and much instruction. The story tells us that it was evening time, and the Lord Jesus had just sent his disciples into the ship to cross the Sea of Galilee. He would dismiss the vast crowd that had gathered, crowd that came to hear him preach, crowd that received the feeding at his hands by means of 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. He would send them away, told the disciples to get into the boat. He would follow them, probably make his way around the northerly regions of the Sea of Galilee and meet them in Capernaum, or maybe take a little boat. But at any rate, he sent the disciples away. He would then go up into the mountain to pray for a while. And it appears it was quite a while he spent in prayer. Later on in the night, the disciples were having great problems getting to land because of the elements of nature. We read about it that wind arose and it presented great problems to these men who were well used to Galilee's waters and knew the difficulties of sudden storms. But in the midst of it all, the Lord Jesus Christ came to them and brought them through and out of their grave circumstances. And for a while just now, I want us to look at this event. And there is much instruction for us as it concerned these disciples, and lessons for us that we would do well to learn and keep in our minds against the time especially whenever we also will have our dark nights. As one once described it, the dark night of the soul, when we have our problems and our trials. Let's notice then these disciples and a crisis time and how to get out of it. A crisis time and how to get out of it for God's people. Notice first of all the severe difficulty that they encountered. What was it? Well, first of all, they pulled out from shore. Verse 47 tells us that it was the eventide. Mark 6 and verse 47. And when even was come, well on in the day, toward night, well into the night eventually, the ship was in the midst of the sea. That's some position to be in. You remember, the great prophet said, Lord, revive thy work in the midst of the years. That's the time when all novelty wears off. When you're away from the shoreline that you had left and quite a distance to go to the shoreline that you set out to go to, a very difficult place. And these disciples now were in the midst of the sea here. But additionally, they were rowing. This generally would have been a sailboat, but because of the difficulties, they had now to row. And the Bible tells us that they were toiling in rowing. Another writer dealing with this particular account tells us, I think it was John's Gospel, tells us that they were rowing for 25 or 30 furlongs, 3 to 4 miles, nearly 4 miles, or certainly over 3 miles. That's a hard row by any standard. But bear in mind that the wind was contrary to them. And the Bible says that the wind was a great one. If you take the different accounts, Matthew's account, John's account, and Mark's account, you get the composite picture. Luke seems to be the only one that never dealt with this event for whatever reason. But we are told in John chapter 6 and verse 18 that the sea arose. Now think about it. They're away out late on at night, as we'll see in a moment. It's dark. They're rowing and don't seem to be making any progress. And they're having terrible problems with the elements of nature. As I was thinking about this, my mind went back to a passage of scripture that I can remember learning in school many years ago. It's from Psalm 107. Let me read to you this particular section that is very significant and one that we would do well to keep in our minds. Psalm 107 and verse 23. They that go down to the sea in ships, that do business in great waters, they see the works of the Lord and his wonders in the deep. For he commandeth and raiseth the stormy wind, which lifteth up the waves thereof. They mount up to the heaven. They go down again to the depths. Their soul is melted because of trouble. They reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man and are at their wits' end. They don't know what to do. These disciples were in a pass not unidentical to that. That's what it was. And the big problem was they were making little or no progress, battling the elements of nature to get to the place where the Lord would meet up with them. Are you having severe difficulty like that in your life? You're putting a lot of hard work into something, and you're making no progress. Maybe a wayward child coming to a certain age in his or her life when they think they know it all, and you're toiling and rowing. Maybe you're researching a project, and you can't get that information. You can't get it to gel. You're doing your best. You're spending hours. You're looking up this reference, that reference. You're going to this source, that source. You're toiling and rowing, but little or no progress. You're praying about a matter, something that's very special to you, and you believe God has laid it on your heart, but there's no answer yet. There is no progress. The prayer is not being answered yet. You're serving the Lord. You're witnessing. You're evangelizing. You're doing your best for the Lord Jesus Christ. And yet you're not seeing any fruit for your labor. It can be counted a severe difficulty. But notice not only what it was, but when it came. Somebody once said concerning a matter, and it's true nearly in every grave situation, the worst of things happened at the worst of times in the worst of places. The first time I heard that said was, or read about it, was whenever Benaiah was fighting the lion in a pit on a snowy day. One of David's mighty men. Now these men, they're out in the midst of the Sea of Galilee. It's dark. In fact, it's about 3 o'clock or thereabouts in the morning. This happened round about the fourth watch of the night, which was from about 3 o'clock in the morning to 6 o'clock in the morning. And the wind is raging. It's just going against them in all their efforts. And the worst thing is, the Lord Jesus Christ is not with them. Not a light to be seen. Just thick darkness. The wind howling. The boat bobbing about on the water like a cork. Them doing their best to get to their desired haven. But they can't do it. The sad thing is, it happened after a tremendous event a few hours previous. And the miracle of the feeding of the 5,000 men, let alone women and children, with 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. And now everything has changed so dramatically. The Bible tells us these things happen. Elijah was the mighty man of God on Mount Carmel, calling down fire from heaven to consume the sacrifice. And then he took those hundreds of false prophets and priests and had them slain. What a mighty man. What a mighty time he had. And within a short while, he was fleeing from Jezebel and all her threats, sitting down under a juniper tree, away from his post of duty, saying, "Lord, let me die." It happened to Peter. He had a tremendous high experience. The Lord Jesus at Caesarea Philippi said to the disciples, "Whom do the men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they say, "Some say that you're Isaiah. Some say you're Jeremiah or one of the prophets." He said, "But who do you say that I am?" And Peter right away spoke out. He says, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." What a statement. And the Lord Jesus said, "Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah. Flesh and blood has not revealed this unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven." And then almost instantly, the Lord revealed to them that he was going to be crucified. And Peter says, "Lord, be it far from you." And the Lord Jesus says, "Get thee behind me, Satan. Thou savorest not the things that be of God, but the things that be of men." What a change! It happened so quickly. It happened even to the Lord Jesus himself. He had a tremendous experience. He was baptized. He came up out of the water of the River Jordan. The Holy Ghost came upon him in the form of a dove. The voice spake from heaven that said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." And you can see the Trinity there, the Lord Jesus coming out of the water, the Holy Ghost in the form of a dove, and the voice speaking from heaven of God the Father. What an attestation to his divinity and deity. And almost instantly, the Bible says, the Spirit of God drove him into the wilderness where he was tempted of the devil. What a period of temptation the Lord suffered. And my dear friend, you may be going through a dark night now. Your vessel may be swirling about the waters with the storms of life raging upon you. And you think you're going to go under. Let me tell you, think it not strange that these things happen, especially after you've had a high in the work of God. Maybe you've had been the recipient of tremendous blessings, and now there's an awful low and a depression in your life. I'm telling you, it happens to us all. It happened to the great people of the Bible. It happened to the Lord himself. It's happening now to these disciples. And keep this in mind. It happened to them while they were in the center of his will. He was the one that told them to get into the ship. He was the one that knew all about this. And yet he sent them out. Whenever you're in God's will, storms may come. Just because we're walking close with God, or that's our aim, doesn't mean that there'll never be a cloud in the sky. It doesn't mean that there'll never be thorns in the roses of life. But notice, secondly, not only the severe difficulty that they encountered, but notice the stunning deliverance that they experienced. The Lord didn't leave them like that. We have that in verses 48 to 51. "And he saw them toiling in rowing, for the wind was contrary unto them. And about the fourth watch of the night, he cometh unto them walking upon the sea, and would have passed by them. And when they saw him walking upon the sea, they supposed it had been a spirit, and cried out, for they all saw him and were troubled. And immediately he talked with them, and saith unto them, Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And he went up unto them into the ship, and the wind ceased, and they were sore amazed in themselves beyond measure and wondered." What a deliverance. I want you to notice, first of all, the occurrence of it. How did it happen? Well, where did it come about? Well, it lay with the Lord Jesus Christ. If it were not for him, there would not have been a deliverance. Notice, first of all, his observation of them. Notice what we're told in verse 47. "And when even was come, the ship was in the midst of the sea, and he alone on the land. And he saw them toiling and rowing." Now, he was on the mountain. He was praying. But he could see what was going on that lake. While he was not there with him physically, he was with them nonetheless. His watchful eyes were upon them. He was observing them. In fact, the Bible tells us he was praying. Do you not think that one of his prayers would have been the well-being of his followers on that boat, that ship? This is a tremendous thing that the Lord Jesus Christ prays for his people now. We read in Romans 8 and verse 34 that he ever liveth to make intercession for us. We read in Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 24, he appears in the presence of God for us. The Lord Jesus is praying for you, Christian. You may not have very many other people to pray for you, but you have the Lord Jesus. So the Lord was thinking of them. Now notice not only his observation of them, but his action. He became involved. He prayed, yes. He watched them for a long time. Now, for some reason, he let it go on as long as it did to after 3 o'clock in the morning. But now, he's going to intervene directly in the situation. And so, we read of him here that he's coming, walking on the water. Verse 48, he saw them toiling and rowing, for the wind was contrary unto them. And about the fourth watch of the night, he cometh unto them, walking upon the sea. Can you picture that? It's the middle of the night. The sea is churning and raging. There's not a light to be seen. Those disciples are battling the elements. The Lord has been praying for them. He has been watching them. And now he comes down from wherever he was on the mountain. He walks along that shoreline. And he goes out into the waters. And he begins to walk on them. Remember, the Bible says there's a great wind that is tossing up the waves. And the Lord Jesus Christ is cutting a majestic figure as he walks those few miles to where those disciples are. He's coming to them to relieve them in their awful distress. And whenever the time is right, beloved, he'll make his way to where you are in your dire circumstances too. But he did something here that's strange. He went as if he was going to walk on past them. Different commentators have different ideas why the Lord Jesus did that. But it seems safe to say that he wanted to go near enough that they would recognize him. And then he would come into the boat and rescue them or bring a calm to the situation. But he made as if he was going on past. But the disciples saw him. You remember the two on the road to Emmaus. The Lord Jesus joined them. They didn't recognize him. And whenever they had come to their home, he made as if he would go on. And they said, come on in, spend the night with us. The day is far spent. It was something like that that the Lord was doing. He certainly would come into the boat at the right time. But he wanted these disciples to summon him aboard. But whenever they saw him, they thought it was an apparition, a specter, a spirit. They were scared. And it was only whenever he spoke that they realized who it was. Sometimes when the Lord comes to deliver us, we don't even recognize him. Whenever providence is working toward alleviating our situation, it may wear a frowning countenance. We may not even recognize that it's the presence of Christ at all. It was so with these disciples. But you remember what the Lord Jesus said in John 10. He says, my sheep hear my voice and they know me. As soon as he spoke, he didn't say, I am Jesus. He did not say, I am your master. He did not say, I am your Lord. He just said, it is I. And as soon as he said that, they recognized his voice right away. You remember Mary Magdalene when she was at the tomb, so forlorn and disconsolate. Whenever he mentioned her name, he just said, Mary. And as soon as he said that, she says, Rabboni, Master. Right away, instantly, she recognized who it was. And these disciples now, we are told, whenever he spoke to them, he says, cheer up, be of good cheer. It's I, don't be afraid. That's whenever the can came into their breasts. And ladies and gentlemen and young people, there is nothing, but nothing, like the Word of God to quell the storm in your life. I'm sure I don't have to convince you of that. There have been times in your life that there's been a tempest in your mind, a tempest in your circumstances. All has been dark, and God in His grace and mercy and kindness has given you a word from the Scriptures as if the Lord spoke it audibly from heaven. He has spoken it into your mind, into your soul, into your heart, and it has brought light and it has brought great peace. That's why we need to spend time continually with God's Word. What a deliverance. But notice not only the occurrence of it. Notice the outcome of it. Notice what we read in verse 51. He went up unto them into the ship, and the wind ceased. And they were sore amazed in themselves beyond measure and wondered. Now, there was good in this and not so good. We'll see the not so good in a moment. But the point is, for now, what the Lord did, the way He came to them, when He came, what happened when He came, impacted the lives of His followers. And it caused them amazement and astonishment. Look at what the Bible says. They were sore amazed and wondered. Brethren and sisters, whenever God does a great thing in your life and mine, does it not cause us to thrill and to pour out our hearts in gratitude to Him and in worship and praise? It ought to. It did these disciples. And if you're in the midst of darkness now, if there's a storm raging in your life, you love the Lord Jesus Christ, you can be sure that at the right time, the Lord will come to you and He'll bring the calm. We've seen the severe difficulty that they encountered and the stunning deliverance they experienced. But notice lastly, the sad defect they exhibited. This is the part that's not so good. Let's read that verse again, verse 51, along with verse 52. And He went up unto them into the ship, and the wind ceased, and they were sore amazed in themselves beyond measure, and wondered, for... That word "for" is important. Gives us the reason, the explanation why they wondered and why they were amazed. For they considered not the miracle of the loaves, for their heart was hardened. The point I want to make is that they had already seen something like this before. You have the story in chapter 4, toward the end of chapter 4, whenever they were at sea again, and a terrible storm arose, and the Lord Jesus, this time, was in the boat, and He was asleep, and they woke Him up and says, "Master, do you not care that we're perishing?" What a way to speak to the Savior. And He rose up, and this time He began to speak to the wind and waves, and there was a great calm. So they ought not to have been sore amazed beyond themselves, because they'd already seen this before. But that's not the main reason. In chapter 5, they had seen the Lord Jesus work in His mighty power again in three areas. Where a man was delivered from the power of demons. Where a woman was delivered from the power of disease. And where a wee 12-year-old girl was delivered from the power of death. They had seen all of that. The Lord triumphant over disease and demons and death. They ought not to have been sore amazed outside of themselves. But what Mark tells us and what the Holy Spirit tells us is the miracle that preceded this one of the feeding of the 5,000. Notice verse 52. For they considered not the miracle of the loaves. Now, if they had considered the miracle of the loaves, they would have realized the mighty power of God was in operation. And what a miracle it was to take 5 wee loaves and 2 small fishes and feed maybe 10, 15,000 people that says 5,000 men, just the men, didn't mention the women and children, but 5,000 men, what a crowd of men, hungry men. Bible says they were out with him all day and he was concerned about them because of their hunger. Now, if they had rightly concerned the miracle of that previous day, they wouldn't have been amazed to such a degree that the Lord's mighty power had rescued them in this way. You know, we need to give consideration to all what the Lord does for us. We must remember past answers to prayer. We must remember the past works of Christ in our lives. And whenever we do, when God does big things for us, we'll not be amazed. We're praying for God to fill this place to an overflow. You sit every Sunday and look around and still see the empty pews. You might say, will it ever be filled? Whenever it is filled and there are seats in the aisles, will you be amazed? Not me, friend. I've been praying for this for years. And anyhow, why be? Because we've seen this in the 70s and 80s in the old building where there was not a seat to be had, even in the aisles. We have seen it in recent times before this building was built in our family night services. So why be amazed whenever God does it in this room in the future? No, we've got to consider the great things that God has done in the past, so that when he does them again, we'll not be taken by surprise. We'll be so thankful to him for it. We'll be so grateful to him, but we'll not be amazed. But here's the real reason. Verse 52 again. They considered not the miracle of the loaves, for their heart was hardened. So close to Christ. Had seen his mighty works. And yet they become so familiar that their heart was hardened with regard to him and his workings. That can happen to us. Now, in chapter 8, will you turn over quickly as we come to a close here? Verse 14. Now the disciples had forgotten to take bread, neither had they in the ship with them more than one loaf. Well, listen, if 5 barley loaves could feed 5,000 men, do you not think one loaf could feed 12 disciples, or 13 if you take the Lord Jesus with them? So they were becoming concerned because they hadn't enough bread. Now the Lord Jesus said in verse 15, take heed, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the leaven of Herod. And they reasoned among themselves, saying, it's because we have no bread. They weren't on the same wave band as Christ at all. Verse 17, when Jesus knew it, he said unto them, why reason ye, because ye have no bread? Perceive ye not, neither understand, have ye your heart yet hardened? The great miracle on the boat was past. The feeding of the 5,000 was past. The Lord is still performing miracles, and yet they seem to be so dull and insensitive. We needn't criticize them, because it happens to us. God has blessed us so much. He has answered our prayers. He has taken us out of a difficult situation. We say, Lord, if you get me out of this, I'll do more for you. I'll be a better man or a better woman. But whenever he does it, we're just the same old selves that we were. No fresh consecration, no new dedication, no commitment. Why? Is it because our hearts are still hardened? It's a sad defect, not only in those disciples, but in ourselves. As we come to a close, let's take heart in all that God has done for us. You might say, well, what you're talking about, I don't experience very much. Everything's going well with me. The time will come when you'll have your dark times as well. You will have your burdens. You'll have your sorrows. The point for you to do is make sure you're in God's will. And know that in due time, the Lord will come to you and get you out of the difficulty. And when he does, don't think it's strange. Don't behave in such a way as if God has never done this before. It's just part of the way that God works. It's part of what He is. He's all-powerful. He's almighty. He's faithful to His people. Let us trust Him whatever befalls. And when the desired blessing comes, whenever we make the progress that we desire to make, say, Lord, thanks for doing it. I'm rejoicing in it. It's tremendous to see it. I'm seeing a display and a manifestation of Thy mighty power. But Lord, don't let there be unbelief in my life or a hardness of heart with me. May God bless His word to us. Let us pray together. Father, we thank Thee for Thy word. Thank You for the way our Savior, when the time had come, was swift to come to the aid of His people. What a majestic picture of the Lord Jesus coming, striding in those waters. What cheer He brought to His disciples when He spoke. Maybe there's a dear one in church today and they're going through exactly the same thing. It may not be physical dark, it may not be physical water, but their life is churned. They're in a turmoil. I pray that You'll come to them and help them. Bring them to the desired haven and rejoice their hearts in the great things that Thou wilt do for them. We pray this for Thy name's sake, Lord Jesus. Amen.